Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Now, who runs your school system? In more than a dozen cities across the country, the school system is headed not by a superintendent or school board, but by the mayor. And it's a trend that is set to grow. The Secretary of Education, Arlie Duncan, recently advocated in favour of mayor control of big city schools, and it's been considered in cities as diverse as Los Angeles, California, Dallas, Texas, and Newark, New Jersey. So here to tell us more about this growing trend is Professor Joseph Fitteretti. He's the editor of Where Mayors Take Control and a professor at Hunter College here in New York. Professor, could we call it Where Mayors Go Wild? Are you in favour of this idea?
I'm generally in favor of it with some caveats. I think the experience has shown that where mayoral control has been implemented, it's created a new capacity for institutional capacity for more change so that reforms are possible. It doesn't always assure that the changes are going to be for the better, but it loosens up systems that for many years have been unable to adjust to changing circumstances.
When did we start putting mayors in control of our schools?
Well, the most recent wave began in 1992 when Boston was the first city to adopt the current forms of mayoral control. And it was followed very shortly after that by Chicago. New York has it now. Cleveland has had it. Washington adopted it in 2007.
Are we looking at school systems that are really failing? So you're scraping the barrel and you actually need the mayor to come in because nobody has any other ideas?
Well, it's the result of a long period of frustration with urban schools and the success of the students who attend those schools. And it really came about because of a growing demand for leadership and accountability so that one person could be held responsible for what happened in those schools, and that's what we've seen happen.
You mentioned a few locations about where mayors have started to become in control. Where has it actually worked?
It's worked to a great extent. In Boston, for example, we've seen the Boston schools have accelerated in their test scores and performance. Boston, compared to other cities in the state of Massachusetts, it's doing better. But it's certainly not it's not a panacea. It's not an immediate fix. If you compare cities that have mayoral control with cities that do not on the national test scores, they're not really doing any better at this point. That's somewhat a result of the fact that mayors go in to take over school systems that are in the worst shape. So there's been some progress, but in order for it to work, you have to have opportunities for parents to participate in education. You have to have checks on the power of the mayor. It's not a silver bullet. There are no silver bullets in education.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. You mentioned having parents involved, and the whole idea behind local control of schools in this country is that when it comes down to it, the parents either on the school board or on the PTA have a big say in the curriculum and a big say in how their local public schools are run. So in a lot of cases, doesn't mayoral control undermine that notion and sort of make it more of a hierarchical situation the parents are locked out of?
There has been a tension between mayoral control and parent participation in many cities. Wherever it's been adopted, it's gotten very strong support of the business community that likes to see a strong executive take charge who can be held accountable. But it's also created a great deal of anxiety in poor and minority communities who feel that decision-making is being taken out of their community institutions and beyond their political reach. So there needs to be a balance. And so school governance is not a science. It's something that has to be crafted very carefully, and it has to balance the need for executive leadership with the need for community participation, because school systems are public institutions and the democratic process is very important in them.
Professor Fitteretti, you say that where school districts have a mayor in charge, the kids don't necessarily do any better. So what does change when the mayor takes over?
What changes is the ability of leaders to come in and develop new programs and innovations. It doesn't assure you that the changes are going to be for the better, but it is significant that for the first time we're seeing school systems like New York and Boston and Cleveland and Washington adopt innovations that would not have been possible before.
Well, it tends to assure a fight with your local teachers' union, doesn't it?
Very often it does, yes.
That's certainly the case in Washington.
Yeah, and to a certain extent in New York, too.
Tell me about the kind of innovations that a mayor can actually bring in that perhaps a school district or superintendent, a school board couldn't do.
Well, what we've seen school superintendents in New York and Chicago and Washington do is we've seen more of a focus on charter schools. We've seen more accountability systems, more of a focus on testing, which is not something that everybody agrees with. We've seen in New York, we've seen smaller schools, new smaller schools. There are lots of changes that are coming about in New York, for example, that would not have been possible under the old system. We've seen more change in New York since 2002 than we've ever seen in the history of the school system, and that's significant.
Doesn't mayor control just really come down to the competency, the ability, the dedication of the actual mayor in question?
Absolutely, and at least as important, the superintendent or chancellor or CEO, whatever they call them in the particular place, who's actually responsible for running the schools. The mayor, in most cases, selects the school board, and the school board will select the superintendent. In some places, the mayor selects the superintendent or chancellor also. But the chief executive of the school system is really a key person, and the success is going to depend on the ability of that individual to have a vision for the schools and to implement it effectively.
Now, what happens if a mayor gets voted out of office? Is the next mayor still in charge of the school, or does that have to be voted upon?
No, the way most of the laws continue beyond the tenure of a particular mayor. In New York City right now, the law sunsets in June, so the legislature is considering what to do. It will either they will either let the law expire, which is improbable, or they will implement it, renew it the way it is, or make changes in it.
What inspired you to actually write a book where mayors take charge? Who's supposed to read this book? Who's your audience?
I think it's certainly anybody who's interested in the future of urban schools. It's a phenomenon that's taking hold in lots of places. It's under considerations in diverse places like Rochester, New York, and Milwaukee, and Memphis, and about a half a dozen cities around the country right now, Jersey City, Newark. So it's something that people are considering. It's an important issue, and people need to go in with their eyes open. It's something that can improve the capacity of schools to get better, but it should not be seen as an immediate fix. There are no magic bullets in education, as I said before. So you have to go into it, and the system has to be crafted in such a way that it allows for executive leadership, but also allows for participation by the public.
Professor Joseph Vittoretti, thanks for spending some time with us this morning. The professor is the editor of When Mayors Take Charge. He's a professor at Hunter College here in New York.